Welcome to You, Me, and the Dogs, the podcast where we explore the wonderful world of pet ownership. Join me every Wednesday as my guests and I share personal stories, insights, and experiences, of course, with dogs. Today, I'm having a chat with Cassidy and her dog, Ginger. You might know them by Ginger Naps on Instagram.
Hi. I'm here too.
Yes. I am very curious to know, what was your life like before Ginger?
Well, my life before Ginger,
yeah,
it felt really stagnant.
Uh-huh.
I had been in grad school for 2 or 3 years at that point. And it felt never ending and very monotonous.
Uh-huh.
And then the pandemic on top of that, my daily schedule was just wake up, stare at the same wall, and then go to sleep.
Yeah.
Ginger came at the end of the summer in 2020.
Okay.
I was working on my comprehensive exams for my PhD program, and I had to read about 150 books in a summer, and then get quizzed on them by a group of 5 people at the same time. So she was kind of my reward
for
surviving that process.
How did you go and say, this is the dog that's for me?
Right. I pretend that I'm very type A and that I made a spreadsheet of the shelters that are in the area. I didn't have a car at the time, so I also priced how much the Uber is from where I live to the shelter. I made a list of all their requirements. I made a list of dogs that they had that I liked, not so that I could get those dogs, but
right.
They have the kinds of dogs that I like.
Uh-huh.
What else was in there? Fees,
obviously.
Yes. Providence Animal Shelter was the first place that could get us in for an appointment because it was 2020, so you couldn't just walk in anywhere. I had intended to go in and look around and just meet some dogs. I wasn't thinking that I was leaving with a dog that day. Ginger flees. And that was really silly of me. So,
all right.
Ginger was you. Yeah, I shouldn't have done that. I mean, I should have known that I was not walking out of there without a dog. So she was the second dog that I met, and she was really shy, but it seemed like she wanted to be friends. She just wasn't sure how to do it.
Right.
And that's my brand of neurodivergence. I don't know how to do it.
Right.
So we were just awkward but hopeful and friendly together.
There's like a vibe, like something, an aura that you feel and you're like, we're connected somehow.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So then how did you adopted her and then
yeah.
Did you Uber?
Yeah, I had a zip car.
Oh, okay.
We had to go directly to Pet Supplies Plus because I had nothing because that was still in my research phase.
Uh-huh.
So the people at Pet Supplies Plus helped a lot in telling me what I needed. I mean, we had the small bag of food from the shelter and a collar and a leash. I already knew that I wanted to do harnesses instead of collars, so that was the first thing I got. We got a crate, some toys. I tried to do the pick-your-own toy thing, but she was so shy, she just kind of stood there in the middle of the aisle. I can't believe she used to be 20 pounds. So that was it. We just started figuring it out together.
How?
She was 4 months.
Oh, okay.
Now she's almost 4 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 5. How was the process between you having her and then you doing your PhD? And how did you?
She was a really fun project, not to treat her like an object, but being a dog mom was something that I definitely had to figure out. And it took a lot of time and focus and devotion. That I had been directing exclusively toward school, and I wanted to, I'm not only a student, I wanted to be a full, well-rounded person, so I rechanneled a lot of that energy into learning what she needs and learning her and learning what I'm supposed to do for us, and a lot of trial and error.
Right.
She had stomach issues right away. She had allergies right away. Again, still didn't have a car, so we walked to the vet. We walked to the park. That was about a mile away from our house every day. Closer to 2 miles, actually, every day. And yeah, we just made it work. Wow. In a one-bedroom apartment.
Here or?
This was in Philadelphia.
Okay. Are you originally from Philadelphia?
I'm originally from here, this very town. I went to Philly for undergrad. Then I came back here for grad school. Then I went back to Philly for a partner. And then I came back here for grad school. Yeah.
Do you miss Philadelphia? Like, how is that?
Yeah. I definitely miss Philadelphia in terms of the kind of pet parent I could be there. We were in a one-bedroom apartment. So, yeah, there wasn't a lot of space going on. But that pushed me to be more creative in terms of how I make sure that her needs are met. So we took that 1 or 2 mile walk every single day, rain, sleet, or snow. And she got to play with her same group of friends for an hour or two. And then, that is not your mama. Remember that. Okay. not immediate retribution. Space. Just space. You know what space
is. I think they want to play. And they're trying to figure out how are you to play.
Getting creative. It's happening live.
Yeah.
How do you feel about this? Or that? This? That?
No.
Okay. I didn't make it very fun.
No, they're...
I'll put it here.
I mean, but that's like what we do as pet parents.
Yeah.
Especially during COVID. If you didn't have... If I didn't have him, I don't know how I would have really survived.
Yeah.
It was because it was very isolating. And here it must have been like even more isolating.
Yeah. I spent the majority of the pandemic, even though it's still ongoing, in Philly. That just felt kind of cruel because I had just moved downtown. I was ready for a thriving social life. And then there was not. I agree that she broke me out of something that could have been really debilitating mentally.
Yeah, exactly. Have you DNA'd her?
No.
Okay.
I haven't. A lot of the language I use to describe her on the internet, I'm careful to say that other people identify her as a pit bull. When I'm having conversations about having a bully-looking dog, because of how loose breed-specific legislation is in terms of they're not... being stringent or checking for breed percentages.
It's just, right.
If some person that's not qualified thinks maybe there's some pit in there, that's it. So that's the kind of language I use. But a lot of people say she doesn't look like a pit at all. Mm-hmm. I think the first thing we thought was that she was a black mouth cur.
Yeah.
I'd never heard of.
That's what I see.
But she's...
But Jerry, that... She's...
I see a mix, yeah.
Yeah, it's a mix.
Yeah. But DNA-wise, I don't know. I don't think I want to before I own my own house.
Okay.
I rent this house. The landlord is my mom, so she was okay with me bringing a suspicious dog in here. But I don't know.
Yeah,
the next place that I move, I might have to be in an apartment with stricter rules, and I don't want them to check my Instagram. Proudly proclaiming that she is a pit bull.
No, but I mean, like, so he is... a pit bull type. He's an Amstaff.
Mm-hmm.
I knew there were going to be issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
We live in an association, and I've been told, oh, he's a pit. You need insurance and all this stuff. But then it comes with like, oh, well, he looks aggressive.
Right.
And I hate that word. Mm-hmm. I really hate that word because he might look aggressive, right? But that's like... That's what you think,
right.
As opposed to, like, that's your experience
right.
of what the word is. When you ask someone what really that means, it becomes very difficult for them to distinguish the two. Like, one is an experience
mm-hmm.
versus, like, what, I guess, like, what is danger?
Right.
Danger. And I find it very, I mean, depending on the situation, I have empathy for the person. And then other times I'm like, well, this is very, like, there's multiple layers that I don't want to deal with. Like, for example, there's me being a woman, because I've been told I don't look like I could hold him or control him.
Who's walking who?
Exactly. And I find it, like, it's difficult, right? Because you want to advocate for yourself, advocate for your dog, But I also don't want to get in a situation where it's like, okay, well, because you advocated, now you are in an even worser position. Right. Or not worser, but, you know.
Yeah, no, I have a problem. I fully understand what you mean in terms of not wanting to escalate anything. For me, aggressive hits hard because I've also been labeled aggressive when I was in middle school and high school. That was my first experience going to private schools, going to being one of very few Black people in school. I was getting in trouble for intimidating people or being aggressive with people all the time. But
I know what I was doing. Wait, but what do you, you intimidated them?
Yeah. So in high school, the first time I got in trouble, there was a girl who was friends with my friends. She was white. My friends were white. I lived in a boarding school. She was following me to my dorm, asking me, why don't you like me? Why don't you like me? Why don't you like me? I get to my dorm and she's blocking the door, demanding I give her an answer. So I tell her why I don't like her so that she'll move.
Okay, she's kind of stalking
her. I'm being harassed. And then the next day, I get called into the dean's office to say that she had thought that I was going to kill her and that the other two white people that were there supported that, even though I was trying to get away.
No way.
Yeah. We've both been labeled a killer.
Right.
Oh my God.
But, okay, so like, I could say, okay, fine, there's a language barrier, right, between the dog and a human, mm-hmm. right? Because a lot of people don't understand body language.
Right.
But the fact that it was a human
mm-hmm.
telling you, as a human, like,
right.
there's no barrier to it.
Right, yeah. So I think when people jump to conclusions about her being aggressive, I think about all of the things that I was feeling in those moments,
right.
none of which were anger or aggression. I was feeling sad. I was feeling scared.
Mm-hmm.
Those kinds of things. And trying to put those words into the conversation when I'm talking, trying to correct other people. Like, there can be a lot of other things going on.
Right.
So let's unpack aggressive for a second.
Right. There's been multiple things, right? Like, I remember this was when he was a pup, like he was maybe 8 months old, and we went to the dog park. Now I'm in Miami. I was with my brother, which is a, you know, minor. He was like 12 at that time. The woman screaming at me, mm-hmm. your dog is aggressive,
mm-hmm.
from like the bench, has her kid there. So to me, like, I was shaking just because she just started like screaming. I haven't even opened the gate.
Right.
Right? How could you be like that to another human? Really? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then what are you teaching your child? It makes me very wary of people. Because I understand how people say, I'd rather be with my dog than with humans.
Absolutely. I get it.
Right.
Which is what I had to keep repeating in the comments of that post.
Right.
I understand how you feel. And when I hear this phrase, I hear all of these things
right.
as well.
I've seen every face imaginable as I'm walking my dog.
Of course.
Including crossing the street,
mm-hmm.
pointing and saying, and she has a dangerous dog, you know? And so how is it that I'm supposed to behave?
Yeah, I had to let go of that. I was internalizing a lot of what I now know as anti-Blackness
mm-hmm.
all through school, which is probably why I have 3.5 degrees in African-American studies at this point. I really feel like this whole journey has been stand up for my childhood self who didn't have the language to identify and articulate the things that I was going through. It mm-hmm. felt like my only option was to just agree that it's my fault. But now I know that it's not my fault. And so I'm trying to use the Instagram account to give people language mm-hmm. to identify things that could be happening. Again,
right.
I rarely say this is always only racism.
Right.
I just say that this could be something that's playing a role and people get very defensive about it.
Right. What was the most outrageous comment you got in?
100% Mrs. Vic. It was 100% somebody calling me Mrs. Vic. I hated that so much because I tried to add nuance to a conversation wherein you can be mad at Michael Vick Please
right.
do.
Right.
And also, when you hang effigies of him, that's racist. You cannot lynch dolls of Michael Vick and say that it's not racist just because you don't like him.
Right.
So, yeah, that was my least favorite comment.
Did you reply?
No.
Or you...
I don't think I did. I think I just made an Instagram story about it and had other people
reply. Right. Well, but I mean, there is a thing in regards to like social media and being outspoken, right? Like that's going to get you the views and that's going to get you to get people to talk, right?
Sometimes.
But do we... You don't think so?
Sometimes. It depends on what you're talking
about. For example, for me, your account is very like, you put the point out there and you say it in such an eloquent way that it's like, if you're stupid, you're going to miss it. I think, right? Like, or you're going to be so insulted by what she said, but you're like, and she's that not saying something bad. Like you and Ashley from the Chaos Canine.
Yeah.
I love her. She
goes in.
But you guys say it, and I'm like, I wish I had that education. Not that I don't, right? I understand, but I don't speak that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to be elementary. But
I feel you. That would be my preference. But because I have had to narrate like Martin Luther King to make a basic point for my entire life. So that's a skill I had to develop as a survival mechanism, not what I want to do.
Right.
Yeah. I prefer casual conversation. But when I try to have casual conversation, people call me Mrs. Vick. So
that would really piss me off, actually, now that you say that.
It really did.
What made you go down the rabbit hole of there's racism in the dog world? Did it happen to you?
I think I was already in the rabbit hole of racism and have been for 2 decades.
Right.
And then I got a dog and then suddenly my dog was in the rabbit hole with me. So I had to notice a whole new strain. I've always thought of anti-blackness as ubiquitous in that it's everywhere in everything. It touches everything and everyone. Mm-hmm. So it didn't surprise me that it would show up in the pet industry as well. What did surprise me was that nobody was talking about it.
Right.
But that was a space that I can occupy. So I did it.
Did you expect it to grow? So
no, I didn't expect to use it for that purpose. I started it to take pictures of my dog. And then because I am a book nerd, I started talking about books. And people engaged with that, and it just kind of took off from there. I would say my growth is very slow and steady, which is how I like it. I want people to find my account when they're ready, not because there was a viral moment and they're hopping on a wave and they're going to get off soon. But no, I did not expect it to turn into what it is whatsoever.
But how do you feel about it? Like,
I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm happy because I relieved a lot of pressure off myself. At first, I was very stressed about it. One, because I get overwhelmed when too many of my friends are texting me at once. So when I started to get hundreds of comments, it really stressed me out. My brain couldn't really handle all that. And then I felt an intense pressure to do it every day. And I put a lot of work into the educational posts. So
it
just wasn't sustainable to do that every day, even though I did post every day for the first 2 years. But it wasn't all that stuff. But now I'm at a place where I think I've built a resource, and whether I add to it every day or not, it's still going to be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So if I never got another follower, I would feel satisfied in the work that I've done, and I would hope people are able to come back to my Instagram as a relic and pull out what they need.
Yeah. What is your favorite post?
Wow. I don't know. I'm stumped.
I mean, I really liked... For me, it was the empathy one because it made you think in my brain. It was like a clusterfuck. It was like, well, does that mean that if I feel empathy, that means that I agree with that person? But no, I don't. You know, like I had this web of stuff going on. Mm-hmm. Like I always talk about space, right? And like being in the public realm, I studied architecture. And so one of the things that we notice a lot is how people use space, particularly in public. And so it's kind of like mind-blowing to me. It's like, do you know the architect that just like wanted you to like enjoy it, and you're like, you're throwing away garbage, and you know, like that's my
That's you know, and then having the dog also makes me even more like, like people don't pick up the poop. And I'm like, do you know?
I also don't like that.
Yeah.
I think there's a misconception that it's fertilizer, but it's not.
I know. It's just, for me, it can make all of the other members that you share your local ecosystem with very sick.
There are a lot of things in goat poop that are not good for everything.
Yeah, else that is there, like worms. And then if it rains, it pulls it all up. It just,
if it gets into the water, like some people,
you have to check with your town to see if you are allowed to flush your dog's poop down the toilet, because it can do bad
to the water everybody shares. So yeah, I pick up your poop.
Empathy. I guess we'll go back into that.
That post stressed me out.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Why?
There was a lot of gaslighting happening in the comments. It was really upsetting. I was very much just trying to talk about my experience here in a particular phrase. And so many people who describe themselves as empaths were telling me I wasn't allowed to feel that way. And it was also a lot of dozens and dozens of comments of like, as a queer person, as a neurodivergent person, as a woman, as a left-handed person, just all sorts of things that are supposed to get them around the fact that I hear anti-blackness in a phrase and that those things aren't mutually exclusive. Also, I am queer and neurodivergent. So like, they don't cross out. Also, what really upset me was that a lot of people were talking about neurodivergence. Uh-huh. Some people were genuinely having a conversation about how their neurodivergence interacts with language, but there were absolutely some people that were trying to tell me to shut up because they are neurodivergent.
Right.
We are neurodivergent. But I didn't see any of those people post anything about the autistic 15-year-old black boy that was murdered by police
last week or 2 weeks ago.
I think 2 weeks.
Between.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very recent.
Right.
So you're neurodivergent when it helps you skirt a conversation we need to be having, but not when public discourse needs to be happening.
Social media is like both good and bad. Like if it works out perfectly, you're like, yes, I guess made a difference, or like my voice is being heard, right? And then there's sometimes that you put something out there, even if it could qualify for tons of people, there's always someone that's like going to, funny choice of words, but I guess like stab you in the back.
Yeah.
You know,
we can disagree.
I like to be wrong. And why does everyone have to be like the same?
Because
everyone would be boring.
I think everybody has to have their own set of values and then abide by it. Sure. I personally, when I see things I don't disagree with I do disagree with on the internet, I keep scrolling unless I think somebody's in immediate danger.
Mm-hmm.
I think if I saw something like that, if it were somebody that I knew, I might send some resources in the DMs like,
right,
hey, I think I used to think this way, but I made more progress when I started learning about Force3 and positive training. Instead of, I don't think Instagram comments are very conducive for learning.
Yeah.
A lot of times. Mm-hmm. So I would try to have that conversation one-on-one. But if it was a stranger, unfortunately, I have to be like, I hope the people in your circle know better. I hope somebody who loves you knows better.
It's a very fine line between, and especially if you're a woman versus if you're a man. I am dying, because I have had men in the podcast, but I'm dying to find a man who has a pit bull,
okay?
Because there's a lot of times where let's say I walk my dog, they'll cross the street.
Mm-hmm.
Same
kind of with a pit bull?
Huh?
A man with a pit bull or just...
And so then my partner walks him, they don't cross the street. They go and they say, oh, you know, like they do a macho thing.
Yeah.
And it's just so weird. I'm like...
Very interesting.
And I've had those conversations sometimes with the people in where I live in my community. And that's what I've been told, is kind of like, well, you don't look like you would be strong enough to control a dog. In which I say I could control him.
I also think people feel like you couldn't possibly know enough about dog training
right.
to be able to manage this relationship.
men understand everything perfectly the first time right away. So, of course, they train dogs perfectly.
Man's best friend.
Yeah. There's no way you know anything about dog training, so I'm just across the street.
Like, I'm ripping you. Like, how dare you? No. No, but I, like, but you hear it, and you're kind of like, but we're human. Like, I don't understand, you know, like, we're all the same. I just don't understand. As opposed to my boyfriend walking it. Is it just because he's a man?
I think we're all very different, but that doesn't make anybody more or less capable at things. I think in a very, like, race science kind of way, we try to assign certain attributes to human beings the way we do with dog breeds. Because you are a woman, you must be good at cooking. That would be crazy for me to say to you, but I think it happens in the dog world all the time. Like, because you are a man, you know how to control a pack of dogs because you are an alpha, and that immediate association just doesn't happen for anybody else.
That's one way she changed me. I used to be really afraid of dirt and germs, and now it's like,
really?
I have a thin plastic bag that's helping me pull a strand of grass out of my dog's anus.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
But you love her.
Yeah.
So you do it.
Yeah.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you want to know more about our guests, read the show notes down below. And of course, join us next Wednesday for another possum episode of You, Me, and the Dogs. Bye.